for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, October the 24th, 2001. Ministers Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Monty Mulkey of West Coast Church of Deliverance, Thousand Oaks, California, is the speaker of the evening.
Praise the Lord. Definitely agree. Needs to be preached from the pulpit more and more. In fact, last workshop I did a message on generational spirits of adultery. I have a couple tapes on that. But our children have lust problems because adultery has not been dealt with and confessed. And that's where the kids get the lust. They inherit it. And when you go to the root of the problem and fix the root of the problem, then the other problems can get fixed. And just do a word search in your Bibles on what adultery is. There are many people that don't understand what the sin of adultery contains, and therefore keep that generational curse going on and on. Children are raised in it, and lust problems, and it's a real mess. And I finally came to an understanding that there's no way we're going to clean our youth up unless we dealt with the generational curses and spirits of adultery. So anyway, praise the Lord. I wanted to thank everybody once again for being allowed to speak at this pastor's conference. It's truly an honor and a blessing to get to come. Always enjoy being able to come and share what God puts on my heart. I just wanted to share a few things before I get into the message tonight. Ask for your prayers. I travel quite a bit as well. I got back last week from Germany. We have a strong work going in Germany. I think at least three groups now that have been pretty faithful. And it's encouraging to see where deliverance is spreading in the world. And we've made some inroads into Sweden and Norway and Switzerland as well. And we're fast as we can get material in German. Also, we have works into South America. Planning on traveling to Bolivia again in January. And as well, we have three or four workshops a year in California. I wanted to invite everybody to come. You're welcome to come. Airfares are really at bargain prices. In fact, I saw East Coast, West Coast, $179 round trip. So if you never thought you could afford to come to California, now would probably be the best time. Yeah, thanks, Glenn. And Glenn always puts our workshops in there as well. Or if you have friends that are over on our coast, send them our way. We'll do our best to try to help them out with deliverance. But our next conference in California is the 29th of November through the 2nd of December. Probably have three or four again next year. I also have something a little bit different. We put on a marriage conference, and we've had three or four of these, and this is where just married couples come. And we sit down at tables and we just talk about things that we can't talk about in a normal workshop. And they have really been a blessing. Many of you have got to go to marriage conferences and receive help. However, nobody said come out at the end of the message. So we changed that a little bit. Praise the Lord. I do have a few new booklets back there. There's one of them I encourage you don't overlook called The Clutter Queen and King. And that's one of those sleeper messages. You read through it and you go, oh, yeah. And you go home and pretty soon it comes back to your mind. You go, oh, my gosh, do I really need this stuff? And it's one of those booklets that packs a quiet conviction. So you might be surprised what's in that. Also, the spirit of death. Death is more than just something that happens to you. It's a very strong, powerful spirit. You'll find death many times associated with destruction and darkness. And those three work together. You might get some information out of that. Please pray. I've got a lot of translators working on things. We've got booklets in many languages coming now. Three booklets I hope to get out shortly in Russian. One in Lithuania. Several coming in Portuguese as well as some new English ones. And many of you have come up and said, you know, I pray for you, Pastor Monty, and pray for your work. And I greatly appreciate that and encourage you to lift up one another. We're going to win the battle united, you know, as an army and not as independent lone rangers. So I appreciate your prayers. I wanted to pause just to give thanks for all those who have been praying for our work. Okay, said all that to get to this point. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians. This has been a little bit of a struggle for me this time, and I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. The Lord has, I felt, laid it on my heart to change directions a little bit tonight. The title of my message was about deliverance in the format of a church. And I want to read to you part of that before I get into the message I felt God told me to switch to. And I think it's because somebody has here that's been asking God for insight into certain areas, and so I'm just going to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit and switch directions. But before we do that, I do feel a word of exhortation to you pastors. That's what this is about. Two things for you pastors, ministers of groups, that the Lord put on my heart to share with you as you minister to your congregation or minister to visitors and people that come in. One is patience, and two is long-suffering, okay? Which goes right along with what Chris and Norman, what's been covered this workshop. It takes a whole lot of love. And if you're going to minister for God, you're going to have to become a person of patience and long-suffering, such as the Lord is. You're His representative. And I think there's times that I know for on my part, I've had a lot of people that have come that have been bruised by other deliverance ministries because they have not been patient, they have not been long-suffering, and they've, in one hand, damaged even more. And, you know, that shouldn't be coming from those of us that are instructed to help. And so this one section in Ephesians comes to my mind. I want to mention this. Ephesians 4, verse 12. Let's read that. Actually, let's start in verse 11. And I know you've all read this. We were looking in this area the other night. It says, "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers." Okay, now, I need to start there, but I do want to say, you know, before, as you look at all these things, all the different positions that can be held in church, be content with who you are. Just be content to be a Christian. We live in a day now where everybody wants to run down to Kinko's and print out their prophet card. And that's not right. So you need to find people in the church that truly are. And truly, God has appointed these offices. He's appointed these positions. And there are godly people. But it says here, He gave these positions. And I want to share this with those of you that are pastors. Verse 12. For these reasons. The next few verses are the reasons why God created pastors. Now, I'm very pro-church. Okay? I have a message I just did. It's deliverance of ministry. And I teach deliverance is not a ministry. It's a function of a church. One of the reasons why God's people are so bound is because there aren't any churches doing deliverance. And we have ministries. Let me put it this way. You can run down to the urgent care center because you've got some need, and they can do a good job with what they're trained to do. They can put a Band-Aid on it. They can give you an aspirin, and I'm not diminishing that, but they can only do so much. Or you can go to the hospital and get your heart transplanted or your kidney fixed or whatever. And there's a major difference. Okay? I had a young man came to me here just a while back and said, "Praise God, I've been called to deliverance." I said, "Yeah, that's good." And he said, "Yeah, I'm going to go do some street preaching, and we're going to head down to Hollywood and start a church, and I'm going to minister to the drug addicts and those involved in Satanism and the prostitutes." I said, "Well, that's really good that you're going to tackle the toughest cases first. That means you're going to attend deliverance school a lot longer than the normal person." And he kind of looked at me. He goes, "No, I got to learn this right away." I said, "No, you don't learn to deal with the souls of people overnight." You know, I said, "Now, if you just want to have an urgent care center and minister Band-Aids and aspirins, then that doesn't take as much training. But if you want to have a pastor's heart and dealing with the souls of people to cause them to turn and follow Christ, you're going to need some training. You're going to need some work done on you yourself." So this ministry of deliverance, it's not a ministry. We need to pray, and part of why this is, I'm on my soapbox here, is that we need more pastors. God called people, men and women, that will lead His people in this following list. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. This word perfecting is very interesting. It means for the maturing, for the growing to a mature person. This is why He's created pastors, apostles, prophets, and so on. For the work of the ministry. Big spirit of rebellion in the world today. Nobody wants to be accountable to anybody. If you don't have a pastor, why not? Everybody should have a pastor. Okay? If you don't belong to a church, why not? If you have to do it long distance, that's okay. But you should be accountable to someone. Okay? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God has raised us up as pastors, to do this job. When? Until we all come into the unity of the faith. Okay? Read it in this text, that this is why God has ordained these positions. Not so that we sound our own trumpet. Not so that we look holy and mighty. The reason that we've been called to these positions is to bring the body of Christ in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to show people, to reveal Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Unto a perfect man. The pastors are to pastor their sheep. They are to, and I really have a heart for this, that there are so many people that are in the ministry for the wrong reason. Mama called and Papa sent, you know, and they're not true pastors. You know, and if you're sitting under one who's not a true pastor, get out. That's your responsibility. You have the responsibility and the right to go find a pastor. And that pastor will bring you unto a perfect, meaning maturity, Christian maturity, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the reason why God has placed these positions. It goes on, so that we are no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive. Those of you that are pastors, leaders, whatever position that is, this is your job. This is our job, to train the body of Christ, to raise them up till they get to this point that they are no longer tossed to and fro. The damage that I see being done is we get one of these weak sheep that are being tossed to and fro, and they're criticized or condemned, told, why aren't you straightening out, instead of being loved and pastored or shepherded, if I can use those terms. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is ahead, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now it says all that and gets down to verse 17. It said, God has ordained these positions, raise up the body of Christ, mature them. And then verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind. And it enters into this section of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Now, lest some of you go home with the wrong idea of what the Lord has been saying through many leaders here, this workshop. What I find quite often is that people enter into ministry, and instead of pastoring, working with their sheep, having patience, long-suffering, they don't want to pray. They don't want to invest time. And so they just say, you need to crucify the flesh. Okay? Now, that's not what they're saying, I know, because I know these men, they would never back down from a demon fight. But there are some of you that would use that as a cop-out. And you know that putting off the flesh, putting on the new man, there are some people that can't do that until they get delivered. Maturity is that these things grow in balance one with another. You get a little bit of deliverance, you get more strength in walking in the Spirit and putting off the flesh. You get a little more deliverance, and it's going to go hand in hand. Okay? I worry about some of you folks that have been completely delivered. You know, we live in a world that, you know, that's like kids going out and playing in the yard and never needing to wash again. You know, could it happen? Yeah, but it'd be a real miracle. You know, we get dirty by just walking in the world. Okay? And we just don't know sometimes what's inside of us. There are some demons that would just love to be quiet if they thought that they were going to get kicked out. And this is why we need churches. We need pastors that will bring the Word of God, expose the enemy in their congregation that they had no idea they even had. Okay? I can't tell you the number of times I gave a message on something and people said, wow, I would have never thought to have gotten prayer on that. I said, yeah, that's why I'm pastor. You have to laugh at my jokes or I'll keep telling them. I just want to, just a word of exhortation. Those of you that are ministering, love, long-suffering. Okay? If you don't minister deliverance in love, then it's not going to do its job. Okay? And, you know, pastors, they have a tough place. Sometimes they have to administer discipline. And sometimes you have to sit down and tell people, you know what, you need to straighten up. Okay? And we can do that. And then sometimes we have to say, you know what, you just need a good old arm around the shoulder and come out in Jesus' name. Okay? Anyway, that was on my heart for the first message. Now, turn to Judges 6, where I shortened my first message, but felt need to get that in there. I felt really led of the Lord to look at a section of Scripture in Judges 6 tonight, and it deals with how God delivered people that had become bound again. Okay? Sometimes people say, well, I got my deliverance back in 1978 and ain't had any demon since. Well, you know, if you don't walk careful, you can get bound again. May not be the same demon, but it might be something different. So turn to Judges 6, verse 1. Is everybody there? We'll read it. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made the dens, which are in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up. The Amalekites, the children of the east, even they came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou come unto Gaza, and they left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and I drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now, we're going to study this tonight, and there's so much in this section. And this is the calling of Gideon. As you move on the story, you're going to see Gideon come into the scene here. But this is the story of Gideon and how God began to move and prepare a deliverer and to bring him to the Lamb. And this story of Gideon focuses on a struggle to overcome fear and to overcome Midianites. And we see in this section how God had previously delivered his people. Okay. They have been brought out of Egypt. Now, Egypt is a picture of the world. Same as with Moses and dealing with Pharaoh. When Moses had overcome Egypt, it's like salvation. It's like they had come out of Egypt, but even though they'd come out of Egypt, they still hadn't entered into the promised land. Okay. That's where the real battle starts. Okay. The battle doesn't start until you enter in. Now, here we have the children of Israel, that the prophet of the Lord told them why they had become bound once again. I want you to see this. God had already delivered them. They were already walking in freedom. He had delivered them out of Egypt. He had delivered them out of bondage. He had delivered them from all of their enemies. Okay? And it's the same. It always happens when God's people get delivered and everything's going grace, they forget about God, and they turn back to their ways again. Verse 10, this prophet of the Lord tells us why the Midianites were coming against them. Okay? He says, I did all this for you. I already delivered you, but you have not obeyed my voice. They had turned again to serving self. They had turned again to disobeying God. The Midianites and Amalekites in Gideon's story were semi-nomadic people who had crossed the Jordan River into central Canaan at harvest time, and they crossed over to plunder and to destroy, and they were causing famine conditions in Israel. Therefore, when the people of Israel cried out to God, he raised up Gideon to fill the deliverer's role. Turn back to Judges chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll see a little precursor to the Midianites coming against God's people. It says, the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Now, previously to coming back into bondage again, God had told them, he had given the instruction of what they were to do. They were to completely destroy all of the altars. They were to destroy everything. You know, if you keep a few demons around for pets, they're going to be thorns in your side. Yeah. Well, I like my smoking, drinking, carousing, whatever. Okay. Just a matter of time when those are going to be thorns in your side. And I'll guarantee you that the Midianites are just around the corner. We want to study Midianites tonight because I want to show you what they will do to you if you decide that I don't have to obey God anymore. Okay? Let's begin with the history of the Midianites. Who are these Midianites? Where did they come from? Well, Genesis 25:1 shows us the beginning of the Midianites. Abraham, after the death of his wife Sarah, took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, and all them other kids. And Jokshan begat Sheba. That's how you get around that when you can't pronounce them all. And all of these were, verse 4, and the sons of Midian. The Midianites came from Abram's second marriage, Abraham's, Keturah. And this is where they started. Numbers 25:16. We see in several cases, several places throughout Scripture, as we get into the book of Judges, where Midianites cropped up. We see them again in Numbers 25:16. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. Boy, a lot has happened with this tribe in between this time. I mean, here they were, come from Abraham's loins. You could say that, you know, they were half brothers and sisters to the Israelites. And now God speaking to Moses, saying, "They're vexing you. Smite them. Do war against them." If you follow it through, here they come. All of a sudden, they are now full enemies of the children of Israel, or God's people, in the book of Judges. Numbers 31:2, we see Midianites mentioned again. It says, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, afterwards shall they be gathered unto the people. And you can study that for yourself all the way down through verse 17. Now, Midianites, who are the Midianites? Well, they are an Arabian tribe descendant from Midian. And they inhabit principally the desert north of the peninsula of Arabia. And the peninsula of Sinai was the pasture ground for their flocks. They were virtually the rulers of Arabia, being the dominant tribe. And like all Arabians, they were a nomad people. They traveled, envisioned the gypsies. You kind of get the picture how they didn't really have a place and they didn't really have a place because they really weren't part of the inheritance. And so there was a lot of infighting due to the fact that they didn't feel that they were getting all that was supposed to be for them coming from descendants of Abraham, because they had been pushed out. We see in other places where Moses actually married a Midianite. And if you remember, I forget her name. Moses married Jethro's, I think it was Jethro's daughter, and he was Midianite. And it seems like wherever this went on, it was always causing problems later on, to the point that they had finally come into full conflict with God's people. Their personal name, or the name of Midianites, means strife. You know, I can't think how things would have been different if Abraham would have just been satisfied with being married once. And how many times I heard there's no fool like an old fool, you know. And not that he wasn't free to legally marry or wherever you want to go with that. But, you know, he was up there in years. And here he was, and it was right before his death. He goes off and he marries Keturah. And then out of that, we have all of these descendants, which have been nothing but problems ever since then. One of the reasons that they were having problems in the day of Gideon was that they had allowed some of the Midianites to live. They had gone to war with them previously, and they said, you know, this one's kind of cute, this one's nice, well, we'll let this one live. And you know what, in war, take no survivors. And when it comes to doing deliverance, you know, don't take any survivors. Don't say, well, we'll deal with that one a later time. You know, it's not really doing much damage. If you let your enemy live, they're going to come back to bite you. And this is what happened to the children of Israel. The Midianites came back. It's also interesting, one other place, when Joseph was sold by his brothers, the people that bought him were the Midianites. Okay? And they were the ones that bought him, and it was a great money-making deal for them. They bought him and sold him to the Pharaoh. Now, say, okay, well, I want to show you what the Midianites can be doing to your life. I want to make this practical to you. Let's go back to the first part of Judges 6. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. And the Midianites prevailed against Israel. What they had done, let's see, where's the word? Verse 4, they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. This is what demons do, if I can put it this way. This is what the Midianite demons do in your life. They encamp around you just far enough out that you can't quite tell they're there, or they're not really bothering you. Well, this is okay. Some of you are even taking these Midianites in to live with you. Okay, you need to learn to be led of the Spirit here. Okay, when it comes to how you reach out and help people. You know, and in fact, I just did a message here a while back on who is my family. You know, your family are those that are doing the will of God, not your blood relatives. I'm sad to say, but some of your blood relatives are Midianites. Okay. And you bring them right into your own home. And I'm not saying don't be loving, don't be generous or whatever, but you need to be led of the Spirit of the Lord. When you bring the Midianites into their home, what they do is they encamp around about you and they impoverish you. Okay? The first thing that we see with these Midianites is that they encamp around about, just out of sight, far enough to still be there, and they're just waiting for the right time. How can we get brother and sister so-and-so? Verse 4, they encamped against them. It goes on, and they destroyed the increase. I ministered to a number of people. I said, you know what? We pray and we pray and we pray for the blessing. We pray for the new job. We pray for an increase. And it's right there, and we see it coming. And right before we get it, it gets snatched away from me. What is that? I had one guy that says that. I can't tell you the number of times in my life where I just about receive the blessing and it gets snatched away from me. Yeah. Get promoted for the job and all of a sudden they take it back away from me. He said, what's going on? Midianites. You allow Midianites to encamp round about you instead of chasing them down, hunting them down and getting rid of them. They destroyed the increase of the earth. They left no substance for God's people. Abraham did this with Lot until finally one day he woke up and said, you know what? He remembered what God had told him, and he said, you know what, Lot, blessings on you, but I think we need to part company. Blood relative. And he was very generous. He said, you choose the land that you want, and I'll take over what's left over. But Abraham finally woke up, and he got back on track with God when he realized that God didn't call him to bring his relatives along with him. Now, if your relatives are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a different story. But if they're not, then you're going to have a hard time entering into battle carrying these with you. They destroy the increase. They left no substance. They deceive. The Midianites that encamp around about us deceive. They make you feel that, well, see, the Midianites had entered in to God's, to the children of Israel, to God's people's land with the full purpose to take it. They come in with deception saying, we're your friends. You know, we're here to, we're with you. We really believe in what you're doing. And all the time, what they really wanted to do was just come in and snatch the blessing away when it came. So they were very deceptive. Verse 5, and they left no sustenance for Israel. This is how a Christian that has been all delivered can come back in bondage again, not obeying the voice of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, just about the time you're ready to scoop up the blessing, the Midianites that have camped just close enough reach in and grab it first. And they take all the sustenance away. As we read on down, we find out, in fact, let's turn to that. Go back to Judges 6, verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Notice the fear that Gideon has, and the whole body of Christ, the whole family of God here, the Israelites, they were also afraid of the Midianites. They were sneaking out to thrash just a handful of wheat so that they could eat. So we see that the God's people had to turn to hiding. They were afraid of their enemy. This is what the Midianites will cause you to do. They'll be afraid. Instead of you rising up and taking your position, using your authority, saying, get out of my land. You're afraid of them. You don't want to rile them. You know, it's like, don't mention the devil's name. You know, you give him power. I mean, you heard that, you know. And this is the people, this is what happened. But the Midianites are just in camp and round about, and the whole church is paralyzed because they don't want to wake the Midianites up. So they had to hide. And this is where we find Gideon. He's hiding. He's threshing wheat at the winepress. The angel of the Lord appeared and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, let me stop there. I'll give you a mini sermon. Thou mighty man of valor. In the Hebrew, that means the Lord even in valor. It doesn't mean that Gideon was mighty in valor. It's saying the Lord is with you, mighty in valor. The Hebrew here is very hard to interpret. And so in many of your translations, you read it as if Gideon was full of valor. No, he was full of fear. God was going to take him and lead him, but it's the Lord that is full of valor. And in Hebrew, the focus is on the fact that the Lord is with him, even in valor. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? Okay. Hello? How many of you hear this constantly in your churches? How many of you are speaking this? If God is for us, then why are we not? Like Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, where be all the miracles which our fathers told us about? One of the evidences or proofs that Midianites are chewing in your pocket is the fact that there aren't any miracles going on in your life. Okay? I don't know about you, but I don't want to live without miracles. Okay? Now, many of them are what I call supernaturally natural, but this is my daily experience. Okay? Where the Lord constantly provides miracles. We have miracles all the time in our church. We don't even think to record it, the number of healings that just happen because we minister. But we have people stand up every service saying, you know, I was healed. I just noticed that this is gone. It happens all the time. But I wouldn't want to live or be in battle for the Lord without these miracles. Okay? And yet, it's many people's experience saying, you know, I have no miracles in my life. Okay? Why is that? Well, we need to get to the root of why there are no miracles going on in your life. Because God is no respecter of persons. He just doesn't give Monty miracles or Norman miracles. You know, it can be your life. You can have all the miracles. God delights in doing that. Okay? But Gideon, here he is. He's in total fear. He's hiding. But at least he had enough internal strength to be out there to trying to provide some food for his family. Where be all the miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. If the Midianites are working on you, what it will cause you to do is be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, what are you supposed to do at the wine press? Make wine. What's Gideon doing? He's threshing wheat. Why wasn't he down at the granary threshing wheat? Okay? He should have been, you know, instead of being able to get the whole truckload, he was in hiding and just getting a little handful of it. When the Midianites are working on your life, they conduct the affairs of your life where you end up at the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay? Waiting for your ship to come in down at the train station ain't going to work. You know, you got to be... There, I got you laughing. Okay, but this is what we've seen, and as I began to study this and look at this and see why I have some people, it's like nothing's going right in their life. What's going on? And every time they would get close to a blessing or a miracle coming, it would get snatched away from them. Here it is. God just laid it right out in Scripture in a picture for us. Midianites destroying our substance, impoverishing us. Okay. We should not be greatly impoverished. Verse 6 of Judges 6:6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And not until they finally had hit the bottom of their purse did they finally cry out unto the Lord. We shouldn't be greatly impoverished. We should be blessed above all people. Instead of begging for money, you know, this is, you know, something's wrong if there's no miracles or if you have no substance. If you're greatly impoverished, something's wrong. And I think the reason is found right there in verse 10, because you have not obeyed my voice. Okay? Now, I don't know what that is for you. I can take you to a lot of scriptures that God says, do this. But you're going to have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, where have I left off obeying you? And clear that up. It may have been God said, well, I asked you to do this. You know, I called you to do this or whatever, or I asked you to give this up and you didn't do it. But is there something in your life where you said, I don't want to do that. I'm afraid. I don't want to go talk to so-and-so and fix this or correct our relationship. You know, where have you left off obeying God? Because this is when you stop, you can hear the Midianites marching to your pastor. They're coming and they're going to encamp round about you. So Gideon is called. God says, I'm going to use you to destroy the Midianites. Verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, oh, my Lord. Probably just like that. Yeah, I think all of us pastors say that. Oh, my Lord. How can I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Okay, that's me. I was the least in my father's house, voted most least likely to succeed. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Okay, and they went through the sign of Gideon doing his fleece, and we'll skip through that. I'm going to caution you with fleeces because I found out that the devil can answer fleeces too, okay? So be careful, okay? God can answer fleeces, but the other side can answer them too, you know. Now, it's interesting that as soon as Gideon, as timid and afraid as he was to do battle with the Lord, for the Lord, that God just kept loving him, just kept reassuring him, saying, I'm with you, I'm with you. Don't be afraid of the enemy. I'm going to give you victory. And God has to do that for us, you know, because we rush out there, oh boy, I'm called. And then, God, are you sure you want me? You want me to pray? Remember how I learned to pray deliverance. My pastor was praying for somebody, and pretty soon he got something manifesting. The person was getting some deliverance, and he said, son, come over here and here, take over for me. I've got to go take care of something. I'll be right back. And he never came back, you know. So God has his ways of getting you over your insecurities and fears. And so the Lord worked with Gideon and finally got him going. And just about the time that Gideon says, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to battle for you. Verse 24, let's start there. Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. And unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. Take the second bull, and offer it as a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it at night. I suppose so. Yeah. You think about this. Put yourself in Gideon's shoes. And God just says, I'm going to use you to destroy your enemy. I want you to go destroy your father's idol. You mean dad's? You know, I grew up in the country, so I think about this, you know, going over to my dad's house and tearing down his idol. You know, this was Gideon's test. Let me submit this to you. I believe this is your first step in destroying the Midianites. You're going to have to tear down your father's idols. Okay? Now, that could mean many number of things. And so, Gideon does it. He does it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. The grove was cut down. Grove being all the trees that was built around it. Picture a grove of pine trees, and they use that to worship and do their human sacrifice in it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. The men of the city said unto Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? For he that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. Now, it's interesting, just when God commands us to do something that we think, you know, God will never understand, that the Spirit of the Lord moved on Gideon's father, and he says, you know what, wait a minute. Here we are worshiping Baal. If this thing was so high and powerful, then why didn't it save itself? You know, to have a human being come and tear it down, he says, there had to have been something more powerful than what it was. So Gideon's father was wise enough to say, hey, wait a minute, we're dealing here with something stronger. And he says, you know, if you're going to defend Baal, then let them be put to death. So Gideon called to destroy the Midianites. He was called to tear down his father's idols. What about your father's idols? Some of the belief patterns? Maybe your family believes certain ways that are idolatrous in God's sight? I'm telling myself, I grew up with one. I don't have this anymore. But I grew up constantly hearing that rich people had all gotten their money wrong. They must have done something corrupt to get their money. And there's just something wrong with them, you know. They were really despised and looked upon because they had something. And then I went to a church, good Southern Baptist church, was the same way. Looked down upon anybody that accumulated anything. All the while, we're praying and asking for God to bless us so we can get it. And one day I woke up and said, hey, wait a minute. I'm trying to become like these people that we're putting down all the time. And God convicted me.
Boy, I began to look at scriptures and I found out, you know what, if people have some substance, it's because God blessed them. I have a lot of people put down the country of America, but you know why America's rich? God blessed this country. Does it need to return to God? Absolutely. But the reason why this country's blessed and is still being blessed is because America's still doing a lot of right things. Okay? We need to continue to support missionaries around the world. We need to continue to take the word of God. And so America's blessed this country. And you know, I realize that if somebody has something, it's because they did right things and God blessed it. Because I've read that if you do wrong things, you lose what you got anyway. Or if somebody inherits an inheritance gotten by ill gain, will soon be gone. So if somebody's gotten some substance, it's because they did the right thing. And I realized, you know what, this was one of my father's idols, one of belief system that was passed on to me. And I began to realize, you know what, hey, I look upon the same, everybody the same now, no matter what they have in their bank account. They aren't any different. What are your father's idols? Maybe it was the denomination you went to. You'd be surprised what your father's idols could be. But you might have to tear it down to get rid of the Midianites. That was the first thing that Gideon had to do. Not only that, there had to be a repentance from disobeying God in the first place. The idols that the Midianites had brought in. They destroyed the increase. They left no substance. They deceived until God's people were greatly impoverished. I just feel tonight that there's some people here that are saying, you know, really crying out to God, saying, Lord, what am I battling against? Why am I so greatly impoverished? Why isn't anything going right for me? And right, just, you know, I see it coming. I can see the blessings coming down from heaven, and it just about gets to me, and something reaches out and snatches it away. Okay? Well, you've allowed Midianites to encamp around against you. Okay? You need to hunt them down. Who are the Midianites? Ask God. Lord, who are the Midianites in my life? You might have some living with you in your house. Okay? Now, I'm not just saying run out and kick them out. You're going to, once you've entangled yourself, you're going to have to pray for wisdom how to get untangled. Okay? But you do need to find out how, who, what the Midianites are in your life. Let me give you a secret. You know, when a wasp get something foreign in their beehive that they can't get rid of, they just cocoon it off. They just spin a web around it because it's too big to kick out. Then it can't do any damage, even though it's still there. Okay? You can cocoon a lot of Midianites up with some prayer. Okay? Just seal them up with prayer. Okay? Bind it all up. Tie them up good, just like the wasps do. Before God gave victory over the Midianites to Gideon, he had to tear down the father's idols. Ask God, Lord, what are the idols of my forefathers? What are the family sins? We talked about one earlier this morning. It can be food. It can be money. It can be possessions. You take it to the Lord. Ask him. I really enjoy the story of Gideon and destroying of the Midianites. Let's pick it up in 7, verse 2. I have a little bit of time left. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel vaunt himself against me, saying, my own hath saved me. Every once in a while I have someone come up and say, oh, bless God, Brother Monty, I just see millions of people coming in, you know, into your ministry, and I go, where's the stones, you know? Because it's not going to be that way. It's going to be a remnant. Now, there may be a lot of people get saved, and I don't think that God will be outdone by the devil. But when it comes to deliverance, it's just going to be one tribe. You know that only one of the tribes was set apart for warfare? If somebody doesn't want to be involved in warfare in your church, don't fret over it. If they want to go, let them go. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. I don't want to say which one and think it's wrong. Now, therefore, go in, verse 3, to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. Okay? Wow, this is simple. Call out the troops. First thing that God does when he prepares an army is saying, okay, who wants to quit? Who wants to go home? you're dismissed. You can go. You can go now. I don't care, you know. If you're in this for numbers, or if you're trying to build a church for numbers and do deliverance, you know, it ain't going to happen. So we allow people to leave. You know, let them go if they want to go. If they want to stay, if God told you to stay, stay. But here it is. God said, okay, let the fearful depart. Why? Because fear transfers so easy. Okay? The spirit of fear is so strong, and it transfers among people. And God said, you know, I'm gonna show you guys something. I'm going to defeat Midianites, not in the way you would think so. And it says, they returned to the people 22,000. There remained 10,000. Man, that's like three-quarters of them or so. Somebody that's good with numbers. Only 10,000 of them left. Now, can you just see poor Gideon, you know, Pastor Gideon saying, my Lord, what are you doing? You know, you just trimmed my church down. Every time the crowd got real large around Jesus, he'd just preach something ugly and they'd all leave, you know. He even turned to the disciples one day and said, you guys going too? I mean, with the truth of in view. Verse 4, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet, they're yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will test them again for you. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, these shall go, and the same shall go, and who I say can't, they can't. And verse 6, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300. But all the rest of the people that bowed down under the knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. 300 out of 32,000. God doesn't need many. You know, some of you, you know, wherever I go when I speak, I always run into, well, we just got a small church. Well, yeah, praise God, it doesn't take many. Don't be discouraged because you only have 7 or 8 or 10. That's the average deliverance church size. Okay? You got more than that, praise God. He's held you accountable and has given you more responsibilities. Yeah? But it doesn't take that many. I would rather have a small church armed with knowledge that know how to pray than to have a whole bunch of fodder, we call it, from the farm, taking up space. Yeah. Do you know that the average church in America only 20% tithes? So I'll tell you, the average deliverance church, about 99% tithes. Don't let that out, because they'll get real jealous of us. But every once in a while, how do you do that? And it's very simple. We let the 80% go. They aren't doing anything anyway. Then we just pray for those that are serious. Whosoever will may come. You know, and we minister to all that come in. God wants for all his people to be set free. But it doesn't take many. You know, there's so many great principles that we can learn out of Gideon. And read your Old Testament and look for the pictures, the pictures of how God did warfare back there. And you'll probably find it's going to be very similar today. But the Midianites, I encourage you to find out, where have you left off obeying the Lord? Is there anything that he's spoken to your heart? You know, he's very patient God. He's just still sitting there, tapping his feet, waiting for you to do. And you know, he can wait forever. And I find a lot of people that have put their whole life on hold forever. Now, that's sad, you know, to be called at 21 years of age and then decide when you hit 68 that, okay, I'll serve the Lord now. It's too late. You might maybe go to heaven and so on, but you've lost your life. That's why Scripture says, seek the Lord while you're young. I just wish I could back up even 5 years of my life. If I could have just started 5 years earlier, would have saved me a whole lot of stuff. As it was, I did get started pretty early. I started at 21. Seek the Lord while you're young. Find out if you're greatly impoverished, if you're not seeing miracles, if everything's being stolen from you continually. And this is written to a group of people who had already tasted deliverance. They had already been freed. And here they were turned around right back into bondage again. Brothers, sisters, that should not be so. We should not let the enemy deceive us that way and sneak up and encamp around about us. Yeah. Hunt them down. Don't let them encamp around about you. Don't just tolerate their stuff. We do this. We tolerate some of the enemy things in our lives, you know, just to the point that, well, they're really not harming anything, so I guess it's okay. Now, we tolerate and we put up with stuff, and pretty soon, like, hey, where'd all my stuff go? You know, I'm missing things, and something that's done. Moth and cancer worm, palmer worm are eating me out of house and home. Well, the spirit of the Midianites, what I call it, and it actually can be any demon. But God wants for his people to return again unto him. He wants for his people to love him and to serve him with all of his heart. If there's idolatry in your life, we talked about this earlier this morning. Part of the reason Midianites had come is because the children of Israel had not destroyed all the idols of the Midianites earlier. Stubbornness is as idolatry. Banqueting, drinking, adultery. There are several lists of idolatries in both Galatians and Ephesians. Look, do a word search on idolatry. Jerry talked a lot about it today as well. The idolatry, it has to be hunted down. And usually it's going to be connected to your forefathers. Okay? The reason you're having a problem with that idolatry in whatever is because you inherited it. And so you have to tear down your father's idols. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask forgiveness for the sins of our forefathers in that they loved this more than you. Okay? Ask forgiveness and break off the iniquities and judgments and the spirits and the curses and all this that travels down the family line. And then seek deliverance on that. And I really believe that each and every person can drive the Midianites completely out of your land to take it back. Amen? So hopefully I've given you something to think about. And also to give a warning that you can become in bondage all over again, even though you have been set free. And that's very sad for me to see people that have spent their life getting free, then all of a sudden, just when it's too late, they're back into bondage again. Because they just grew weary of the battle, and they put up with a few of the enemy and camping around about them. Okay? People, they come to me with some of the weirdest comments, like, well, I want to get my deliverance and get out of here, you know, or how long does this war stuff got to last? You know, and I said, just till you die. What? That's just, your life is but a vapor. That's just a short time. You mean I got to be in this the rest of my life? Yeah, what's wrong with that? You know, didn't you read the scripture, teach my hands to war, Lord? Yeah. I mean, come on, think about it. The devil ain't going anywhere until the judgment. So we are always going to have an enemy coming against us. Okay, you better learn how to battle. You better learn how to use your sword. And you better have it ready at all times. Okay? If you want to get away from the war, you can't. There is no. That's why there's no armor for the back. See, because you can't run. You're supposed to face the enemy. You turn your back on the enemy, you say it. There's the one. I'm going to lead us in a brief prayer. Let's come against, if there's some things on your heart, while I pray, you take it to the Lord. If there's some idolatry, if there's some areas of disobedience, then you take it to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Okay? And you be praying that while I lead us in prayer. And then we're going to take authority over some of these Midianites and ask the Lord to deliver us. And begin to bless and restore miracles. Father, we come in your presence tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we come to you with repentance in our heart. We come to you asking you, Lord, that you would show, reveal, expose Midianites that we've allowed to encamp in our lives, Father. Show and expose, Father, where we've grown lax and allowed the enemy to just sneak in and subtly take over in our lives, Father. Lord, we also ask that you'd show and reveal unto us our father's idols, which have caused us to be in bondage, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, I put you on notice, and I come against you in the name of the Lord, and I take authority over this, and we break all family line curses, any and all curses, disobedience, rebellion, familiar idols that have caused or given grounds to Midianite spirits to encamp around about you, that have given legal grounds for demons to surround you, encamp around you, and to destroy your substance that God has given you in Jesus' name. We take authority over you, demons, and I command you to leave I command you to leave God's people, get out of their bodies, get out of their houses, off their bank accounts, out of their possessions in Jesus' name. You leave everything that God has given to us alone in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, every evil spirit that has come to consume, that has come to wear us out, that has come to just nip and tuck and keep taking away all of our finances in Jesus' name, you release God's people, you release their finances. And Father, we pray for an outpouring of your miracles again in God's people. Pour out your miracles, Father, your miracles of provision for those needing jobs or careers. Bring it to them, Father, in Jesus' name. Miraculously, Lord, I pray. Bring them new jobs, Father, in Jesus' name. Bring them provisions for their financial needs, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bring them miracles of healing, Father, in Jesus' name. And I rebuke every demon. Just take deep breath and breathe them out. Every evil spirit that has come bringing sickness, that has come bringing fear, all demons that are causing you to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, threshing wheat at the wine press when you should be down at church. Come on. I take authority over every evil spirit that's causing you to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Get out of God's people and loose them tonight in Jesus' name. Right now, move out. Just breathe them out. Tell them to go. Every evil spirit that's had ground taken away from you, we order you to go. Come on, right now. All idolatry, hidden idolatry, stubbornness, rebellion, lust spirits, adultery spirits. Come on, move out. All of the hidden sins, wherever we've left off obeying the Lord. Come on, right now, move out. Move out in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, demons. Come on, move out. You loose God's people. You loose their finances. You loose their possessions and get off of them right now. All the cankerworm, palm worm, caterpillars, all the cancer, all the things that are slowly eating up your substance in Jesus' name. Slowly taking it away from you because you won't notice or you won't miss it in Jesus' name. All this attitude of just allowing the demons to coexist with you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for a victorious spirit in your people, a fight, a righteous anger that they'll go after their enemy. Expose their enemy, Father, today. Show them who the Midianites are and how they're operating in Jesus' name. Come on, right now, move out. Father, I also pray for healing tonight for all those in need of healing. Lord, we take authority tonight over all cancer, arthritis, muscular dystrophy, all of the evil spirits in Jesus' name that have come causing your people to be susceptible to diseases. All fear of sickness and diseases, all fear of anthrax, smallpox, or other fears or spirits that would set you up to get this in Jesus' name. You come out of God's people too tonight, right now. Every spirit of death, come out in Jesus' name. All death, darkness, and destruction. Every spirit of destruction that's destroying your finances, destroying your health, in Jesus' name, out of God's people. Loose them and let them go tonight. Come on, move out. We have authority over you demons in Jesus' name. Destruction, despair, despondency, hopelessness, fear of the enemy, fear of the demons, fear of confronting the enemy in Jesus' name. Right now, come on, all the way out. Move out. Loose God's people. All fear of getting involved in deliverance, fear of the demons. Come on, move out. Fear of the devil. Come on, we have authority over them. Respect his power, but don't have fear. In Jesus' name, let's go, demons. Come on, everything on top. Move out. Loose God's people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, all the way out. All overeating spirits. Every spirit that has set you up to overeat. Undisciplined spirits. Come on, move out. Abuse spirits. Emptiness. In Jesus' name. Come on, all the spirits we talked about earlier this morning, you come out as well, too. Come on, all the way out. Emptiness. Emptiness. Come on, move out. All the abuse, all the false comfort, using food to comfort yourself instead of turning to the Lord. Come on, move out. Grief, sorrow, sadness, depression, other spirits that are tormenting you and driving you. Come on, breathe it out. Breathe it out in Jesus' name. Let's go, demons. Come on, we have authority over you. Let's go. Father, we pray and ask for angels to come. Let's get the demons out of here tonight and come help us do battle in Jesus' name. Angels, take them out of here where Jesus would have them to go. Come on, out you go, demons. Come on, move out. Move out. All the addictions, cravings, alcohol spirits, overeating spirits. Come on, move out. All of the spirits in Jesus' name. All alcoholic patterns in Jesus' name. Every spirit of control. All the control demons manipulating, dominating, controlling one another. All bitterness, resentment, hatred, spirits in the heart in Jesus' name. Holding things against your brothers and sisters. Come on. You can't do that and be in war. Come on. Let's go. All of this bitterness. Come on. You can't hold bitterness in your heart towards someone and be in battle for the Lord. Come on. It's not going to work. Come on. Let's go. Move out. Move out. Bitterness, resentment, anger. Come on. Hatred of parents, hatred of those in authority. all of these spirits in Jesus' name. Vagabond spirits. Not all the spirits that tell you, you don't need a pastor over you. All these demons are independent spirits. Come on, move out. All of these spirits saying, I don't need anybody over me. Come on, all the way out. Come on, off you go. Out you go in Jesus' name. Whatever's on top, let's go. Father, we ask for more angels. Set your people free tonight in Jesus' name. Idolatry. Idolatry in the heart. Placing anything in your heart before God. God first, and then he'll let you have things. Come on, let's go. Idolatry. Idolatry of marriage. Come on, been dealing with this one a lot lately. Gotta get married. Why? Come on, idolatry of marriage, because I'm empty. Come on, move, move, come on. All of these spirits that drive and force and push people. Come on, let's go, move out. Emptiness, abuse, adultery spirits, lust spirits in Jesus' name, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Come on, move out. Every spirit also take authority over all shame, guilt, shame, and condemnation. Everything that causes you as a child of God to lose your confidence, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. All the spirits that rob your confidence and tell you, you can't do this, who do you think you are? And all these demons that are constantly putting you down. Come on, you're a child of God, you have authority. Come on, move out. Every spirit that robs your confidence in Jesus' name. Come on, you're more than conquerors. Come on, move, move, move. All the confidence-robbing demons, insecurity, inferiority, rejection, rejection from God, abandonment, all these spirits that tell you God doesn't love you, he's not on your side. Come, all these spirits in Jesus' name. Come, let's go. Whatever's on top, up and out, in Jesus' name. Come on, you know, we have a number of people that are here tonight that are able to minister. If some of you want more personal ministry tonight, raise your hand and I'm sure a worker will come to you, okay? I'll keep calling them out, but I think we could divide up here a little bit. Anybody want prayer, just raise your hand and you can get prayer on whatever God's put on your heart tonight. Come, let's go. Meet a brother over here who can pray. You want prayer? Come. Anybody else want further ministry tonight? Come back there. Come. Some of you that can pray, just don't be slow. Just go ahead and help out. Keep your hand up high so they know who wants prayer. If somebody's still coughing a little bit, turn to them, help them out. Come on, keep going, demons. Lord, we ask that you complete your work tonight. Everything that you slated for deliverance tonight, Lord, we want them all out in Jesus' name. We're going to go until you're done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Any demons that are just straggling in Jesus' name, you come out. Out you go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, everything on top. You want ministry, brother? Yeah, go ahead. Help them out. In Jesus' name, all sicknesses and infirmities, spirits of destruction, spirits of death, premature death working on people's health, come out right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for life. I loose the spirit of life in your people tonight. Breathe the breath of life in your people, Father. Extend their years. Extend their strength. Lord, I loose the spirit of strength, your strength into God's people, Lord. And I take authority over all spirits of weakness and weariness. So the enemy comes to wear out the saints. I take authority over the spirit of weakness, constantly weak and tired and fatigued. You come out right now, all spirits of tiredness, so tired and so weak, so frail. Come out right now, Lord, I lose strength against that in Jesus' name. Spirit of life against that in Jesus' name. All weakness, weakness, come on, fatigue, tiredness, every spirit that just destroys your strength, destroys your confidence, they're just trying to paralyze you and make you inactive. Come, you can be full of power, full of strength, saith the Lord. Come, move out. All demons on top. Angels, gather them up. Take them out of here. Any demons that are still dragging their feet, pull them out. Take them where the Lord would have them go. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for your people here tonight and by tape that you would provide the miracle. For those, Lord, that have turned again unto you, Father, and have sought your face and have called out to you for victory over the Midianites, Father, I ask for special blessings of miracles to come into their life tonight. Lord, the miracle that they've been seeking you for, I ask that you would grant this unto your people tonight in Jesus' name. Bring their miracle, Father, whatever it would be. Salvation to a loved one. Healing. Financial need, Father, in Jesus' name. Answer to a prayer. Wisdom in a situation. Lord, whatever their need is, their need of miracle, Lord, I ask that you would immediately bring a miracle into their life, Father, that they know that there's a God in heaven in Jesus' name. And Father, tonight we give you all the praise and glory for what you've done. We thank you for your word, Father, which gives us instruction and knowledge and exposes the enemy so that we're not ignorant of his devices. Lord, we thank you for this, and we give you all the praise and glory for the miracles that you're going to bring, for the healing and for the deliverance that you've caused for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I run out of voice, so you're free to continue ministering, I think, until I kick us out of here. If anybody wants prayer, just raise your hand or turn to somebody beside you and say, hey, you know what, pray for me on this. Now's your chance, your opportunity, okay? Get some prayer. I have a man up here. Can I get somebody to come up and pray? Do you want some prayer, brother? Something? You just want to agree with somebody in prayer for miracles.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.